97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Stasek in the house. Marcus Hayes coming up at 1:10. Talking Eagles. What else? Talking a little Joel Embiid. Sixers in Portland tonight without Joel Embiid. Do you think he's more effective on the court or in a suit in the press box or at the end of the bench? I don't know if they're allowed to sit on the bench when they're suspended. Where is he most effective? How about on the court? How about you get enough time off for load management? Did you need to take an extra two games off? Not a good thing. Also, again, we're talking Eagles. We're talking Carson Wentz a little bit, what he needs to do. I think he needs to be better. He's been okay. I think he needs to play like a superstar. I need them to throw the ball more, too. In the last five games, I think they've averaged more rushes than passes. Now, I think that includes the quarterback and maybe the jet sweeps by Nelson Aguilar, so maybe it's a little misleading. But and they've only run the football really effectively twice, in the Green Bay game and then last week. I think you need to throw the ball in the first half. Teams that lead at the half win 80% of their games. You don't do that by running the football in the first half. You sprinkle the run in. That's great. Unless you just chunk, 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 chunk. I think they need to throw it more. They have Carson Wentz, for gosh sakes. He's your guy. Now, the Patriots, they're running the ball, too. These two are anomalies right now because they've turned into a run team, and they have Tom Brady, albeit 42 years old. I think you need to sling it a little bit more than they have been. Unleash Carson Wentz and let him do what Carson Wentz does. Unleash him. Don't stop babying him, keeping him in the pocket, and, you know, keeping a harness on him. Let him play like he plays. If he gets hurt, then he gets hurt. Let him play like he plays. That is when you see the superstar Carson Wentz come out. Let him play on his instincts. Let him throw on the run. Let him take off. He did it a couple times last week. They weren't design plays. He ran twice on third down to move the chains. And that was in the fourth quarter. Phenomenal job. Slid at the right time. Got enough yards for the first down. I think it was a 3rd and 8 and a 3rd and 12. I'm not saying he needs to run the ball more, but if the pocket collapses, which it does a lot for him, let him do what he does. Let him escape to the right, to the left, run the ball, throw on the run. He's excellent at throwing the football on the run. I just think that they need to let Carson be Carson. Drew in Westchester, you're on 97.5 tonight. What's up, Drew?
Yo, what's going on, big dog?
How are you, man?
I'm doing good, buddy. So who do you like in the Nova game today versus New Hampshire? You think Nova pulls that one out?
I do. I don't know why, but I do.
Yeah, right on. So about the Birds, I'm just actually getting ready to watch a little Penguins-Oilers game, to be
honest
with you.
Look at you.
Yeah, man.
It's fantastic stuff.
Yeah, I'm a Penguins fan, so, you know, it's a good game to watch. You know, McDavid versus Crosby, and Malkin's back from injury finally.
Yeah,
so.
I know Malkin's back. That's that helps. Certainly,
yeah,
the Crosby and Malkin combo.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, anytime you get a
first up there. Good for you!
I love you, Josh. So anyway, about the Birds, though, you know, I'm a little worried about this game tomorrow. I think a lot of people are already kind of looking into the bye week. And,
no, you're right.
Thinking about New England
already.
As
a fan base, as a whole, as a consensus, I think people are counting this game as a win already.
I think so, too. And, I mean, Chicago's a desperate team. I think it's what they're coming off, 3 losses here and last year's double doink. I mean, they've got a lot to play for in this game, so... I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Trubisky come out and play, you know, the game of his life, or at least try to play the game of his life.
Yeah, I don't know if he has it in him, though. I mean, if you watch some of the games, some of the tape of him this year, I mean, he misses wide-open guys. He doesn't throw the ball downfield. You know, his numbers aren't horrible. He's over 60% in passing, has a quarterback rating of 84, I believe. He just hasn't gotten it done. He misses too many balls he shouldn't miss. He needs
no,
to.
And that might be a good thing. You know, maybe he's going to try to, you know, do too much, and then that'll play in our favor.
I'll
as well
take
then,
that.
You know?
Sure. Yeah, he knows so. He's on the. I don't know if he's on the blocks, but I mean, they're probably seriously considering making a change. I don't know how they do it because they didn't make a trade. You know, there was some speculation to go after Andy Dalton at the trade deadline and replace Trubisky. It's hard to admit you made a colossal mistake. So sure. Replacing him would be admitting that Ryan Pace, the Bears GM, made a colossal mistake, which he did. It was a colossal mistake. But
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
instead of throwing, you know, good money after bad, it's, you know, sometimes time to make a change.
No, I hear you, Joe. And I mean, I'm hoping for the win, but I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not as confident as some of these people are, you know, going into this game. So I definitely think the Eagles have the you know, the players to win the game. DeSean Jackson coming back, he'll be a huge help. And I guess that's why they didn't make a move there for the receiver. They got faith that he's going to be, you know, be able to come back and play. So. I'll see what happens, and thanks for taking my call, man.
You got it, Drew. Good stuff. Drew calls a lot. Watching Penguins and Oilers today. How about that? A beautiful day like today, staying in watching a little hockey early in the season. Yeah, I'm kind of a fair weather fan. Hockey's my sport, but regular season does like little to nothing for me. You know, I really crank it up around, you know, March, April, heading towards the playoffs, and for the 2 months during the playoffs.
You looking for a Tilly, buddy?
Even if the Flyers aren't in it, man, I'm glued. I'm glued to that set. I am glued to that set. All right, let's go to Dave in Center City on 97.5 tonight. What's up, David?
Joseph, how are you?
How you doing, pal?
Yeah, Drew's right. I'm not even putting the game on tomorrow. The Eagles are in deep doo-doo tomorrow. I'm not even... He needs to stick to Edmonton-Pittsburgh action in the NHL. If that isn't the biggest 27-16 final written all over it. Hey, Joe, did you listen to the A-Team 3 o'clock hour yesterday?
I listened to them, I think, in the 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock hour. I did not.
You know, with the esteemed panel of guests, our friends from Delaware County.
You mean Tim Donaghy?
Yeah.
I did hear that.
Oh, my God. Unfortunately.
I went to school with him. I went to school with him. He was a year behind me.
O'Hara guy, right?
Yes, O'Hara and Villanova.
But unfortunately, yeah, he's from the, yeah. Unfortunately, I know those guys. And the guy who made all the money, more than those three guys combined, was Ken Cannon. And he never was questioned by any of the authorities.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how it, you know, exactly went down, but you're right. The movie's coming out soon.
Oh, my God, Joe, that was better than going to Helium Nightclub. Wait. My ribs are still sore from laughing listening to that yesterday.
Oh, listening to it yesterday?
Joseph.
Yes.
I'm enjoying the Sixers playing Detroit Piston bad boy basketball. Horford is Lambeer. Embiid is Mahorn. Mike Scott is Thomas. Isaiah. Ben Simmons is Rodman. I just don't know who Spider Sally is. Well, you know,
like that ball, huh? I mean, but it cost Embiid two games.
Yeah, I know. You know, they're only letting up 100 points a game. That's third stingiest. But, you know, Mahorn never tried to hurt people. Lambeer tried to end careers.
He was nasty. He was very nasty.
I know you got Haynes coming in. Joe, I am extremely nervous about the 49ers. They were supposed to do this last year before Garoppolo got hurt. I like you said, as long as Carson doesn't get that red star gunslinger mentality, you know, he's got a lot to prove based upon what Nicky Six did the last 2 years. Like you said, use your legs when you need to. I'm confident we'll be at Levi's Stadium January 19th for an NFC title game.
Wow. That's awesome, Dave. Dave, I got to run. I appreciate the call, man. I'm sorry. I don't see it that way. They're going to be lucky if they make the playoffs, in my opinion. They do have to slug it out with Dallas. I think Dallas, roster-wise, has a better team. They've played awful in their fourth through sixth game. But they put a wallop on the Eagles, and, you know, I just think they're a better team right now. Now, long way to go. They have a tough schedule ahead. Eagles in December, their schedule lightens up a bit, and then they have Dallas last game of the season. So they're fine if they can stay afloat. They can't collapse. They need to play more like they did against Buffalo than they did against Minnesota and Dallas. And I don't know what team's going to show up tomorrow. I think they're going to win. I like their chances against Mitch Trubisky. Again, if you ask me a matchup and who to play, I usually go with the quarterback. I'll go Carson over Trubisky any day. That defense is nasty, and Khalil Mack is a destroyer. So we'll see. This guy is going to get into it a little bit more. He's from the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's a friend of the program. He's Marcus Hayes. How you doing, pal?
Good, Joe. How are you today?
Oh, phenomenal, man. Getting set for this game tomorrow. Played all right last week. You know, came out after, you know, all the outside noise, inner turmoil. Had a team meeting. How do you think the team meeting, was there any correlation to the way they played, do you think, from that team meeting?
No, I think they played well because Andre Dillard, the left tackle, had another week under his belt, and he gave up an early sack. He was charged with a late sack too, but that was on a blitz pickup that he wasn't responsible for or wasn't told to be responsible for. It was actually Isaac Seumalo's fault, the left guard. They got their two starting cornerbacks back. Their outside corners were very, very good, and Carson played the best game of his career. The numbers weren't huge, but he didn't make mistakes. He understood the conditions. He understood who was open. He made a couple of plays with his legs, which I don't think he's been reluctant to do. I just don't think the opportunity has been there. He's played, you know, I think his passer rating is somewhere between like 90 and 95.
94, it is. 94, yeah.
Yeah, his quarterback rating is in the top five, and that's sort of, I'm not a huge fan of QBR, but he's definitely played among the top five quarterbacks who played every game this season. So, yeah, that's why they did well in Buffalo, I think more so than any team meeting. But I will say, I've seen kind of a different Carson over the last couple of weeks. I think he understands, more so than Joel Embiid, that he is the face and voice of this franchise and not just a brand. And as such, he has to do things that he might be uncomfortable doing. But all great leaders in sports come to terms with having to do that.
He talked about, you know, after the game, that the running game is one of their recipes for success. Do you buy that? I don't think that they favor the run in terms of over the pass, and that's how they're going to win ball games. Do you believe that?
They have no choice. Their wide receiving core is abysmal. It's probably the thing that Howie Roseman has done worst in his tenure as a general manager, even worse than the Dream Team fiasco.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, nobody was saying at the beginning of the season these wide receivers are terrible. But in retrospect, and you know, you see what they have. Nelson Aguilar is paid almost $10 million a year. He's playing like a, you know, he's playing like a second round rookie.
Yeah.
You know, he's just not playing that well.
No,
Mac Hollins probably shouldn't have made the team. Or J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, I mean, either he shouldn't have been drafted or they need to get a third wide receivers coach in 3 years. So, you know, they don't really have a choice in when it comes to should they be a running team or a passing team. I mean, their two most versatile players right now are Dallas Goedert and Jordan Howard, who are excellent blockers in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very, very valuable. They don't really have a choice at this point. I can't see them putting up, you know, 350 passing yards on any team with a sound defense, especially a sound pass rush. And the most remarkable thing about Andre Dillard, the rookie playing left tackle in place of, you know, perpetually injured 37-year-old Jason Peters, is that they didn't help him at all. They gave him zero help. I watched every snap against Buffalo, and they gave him no help. They might have had some inside help, you know, as part of a blocking scheme. But if he's that good, that he, you know, holds up that well with very, very little help, and if he hadn't been charged with the second sack, again, it was a corner blitz and maybe he should have, you know, gotten a hand on a guy or whatever. But if he hadn't been charged with the second sack, he'd have graded out in the 80, which is a spectacular grade for a rookie making his, his second start and third game playing significant enough minutes.
You called the wide receiving core abysmal, and I agree with you. But they do have a guy that they went to last year 116 times, at least for receptions. He's on pace for 74 this year. Why has Zach Ertz not been, hasn't played more of a prominent role in this offense?
Well, I don't think that he is as open as he has been. I think teams are, since Deshaun got hurt, and because there's no home run hitter in the backfield until Miles Sanders broke one at Buffalo, there's no real reason to respect the, you know, the line of scrimmage or the third level. So what they're doing is they're flooding people in the second level, which has a sort of a two-pronged effect. You don't break big runs because everybody's in the middle, and Carson gets spied by two guys instead of one. You know, you've noticed maybe that Carson's, when he breaks the pocket, guys are on him pretty quickly.
Yeah, they are.
That's because everybody's within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage. And Carson said this the other day, the first time he said this, and hopefully this is a realization that he really believes. He's not as fast as anybody playing defense. There are defensive tackles faster than Carson Wentz who can run him down. Not all of them, but some of them. So, yeah, it's kind of a two-pronged, issue. Zach's getting lots and lots of attention. The other guy that you're scared of, Dallas Goedert, is going to be in the same area, as is Alshon Jeffrey. So you can keep everybody within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage and not really have to worry. And that's the fault of Nelson Agholor. They don't trust Nelson Agholor, and he doesn't make the big plays that he should be making.
No, he does not. Marcus Hayes on the Comcast Business Hotline. Now, Marcus, Josh Gordon went on waivers. Seattle picked him up. Obviously, that means the Eagles passed on him. What would be the downside of Josh Gordon? I know what the downside is, but I mean, so what? So he doesn't work out? He doesn't work out. But don't you think that would have been an opportunity to improve the receiving core without giving up a lot?
It depends on Deshaun. It really does. I mean, you're not going to put Josh Gordon in a situation where he totally replaces Nelson Agholor. And if you acquire a Josh Gordon and don't use him, I think that's a recipe for not just discord, but disaster. He needs to be the featured wide receiver. We believe that the featured wide receiver in this offense has complained twice about being underutilized in the last 2 years as Alshon Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to do if Josh Gordon's here? And, you know, it's not an either-or proposition. You're financially committed to Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
And, you know, Alshon Jeffrey, you know, God bless him, he played a year with a torn rotator cuff, but Alshon Jeffrey is about Alshon Jeffrey, which he should be. I don't have a problem with players wanting to promote themselves, especially if they believe that promoting themselves helps the team win. And I believe all those things are true of Alshon Jeffrey. But if Deshaun Jackson is a viable option, if he plays this week or 2 weeks from now after the bye week, you've got an issue where one of the most talented wide receivers in the history of the game either replaces one guy, and that one guy would be Alshon Jeffrey, because he's not going to be playing a slot in place of Nelson Agholor.
Right.
Or you have a situation where you have a guy in Josh Gordon, one of the most talented wide receivers in the history of the game, not playing. So I'm not sure what the benefit is if Deshaun Jackson comes back. If Deshaun Jackson's knocked out for the year, then fine. But it's a strange situation. It would be like acquiring like Marshawn Lynch on waivers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just too good to not use, and everybody has to be on board. And we've seen recently that at least Alshon Jeffrey is not on board with everything all the time.
No, he hasn't been. All right, buddy, I need a quick prediction from you for tomorrow's game.
Again, it comes down to how they handle Khalil Mack, and they'll probably have to help out a little bit. I believe that at the level Carson Wentz is playing, he plays winning football. You know, he's the kind of guy who'd rather win than have stats at this point. He's the kind of guy who would rather make plays that need to be made instead of making wow plays. I think he's learned that. And because of that, I think they're a good, you know, I think they're a touchdown favorite, maybe something like 28-21, you know, 17-10, you know, the Trubisky factor.
Sure.
So, yeah, but, you know, there's going to be a turnover or two because the Chicago Bears defense is that good.
Yeah, they are that good. All right. Well, we shall see. Before I let you go, bro, I wanted to get that out of the way because you mentioned earlier that Carson Wentz understands he's the face of the franchise and has to conduct himself that way. I think you said unlike Joel Embiid. So I want to ask you, I've criticized him heavily for the situation the other night and getting a 2-game suspension. What did you think about the incident, the aftermath, and the 2-game suspension?
Well, I mean, he went over to unnecessarily double-team a guy who was being defended by a proper defender, Ben Simmons. He wanted to start an altercation. He started an altercation. And, you know, he was suspended for, not only for the altercation, but for the comments on Twitter and in the press conference afterwards. So, you know, if you're going, he's not the face of the franchise. He's one of the faces of the NBA. Steph Curry's hurt. Kevin Durant's not playing. Kawhi Leonard doesn't say anything. And LeBron has become kind of a, he's beyond the NBA at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid is one of the faces and voices of the NBA. And, you know, if I had been Adam Silver, I would have gone out of my way to suspend him further to let him know that you can't represent me that way. He's representing Adam Silver and every other franchise at this point. He's one of the three or four most important guys in the league. And, you know, the NBA is an international brand at this point.
Sure.
You can't be having that sort of stuff, that sort of vulgarity and misogyny and that sort of stuff associated with your brand. I think he's lucky to get 2 games instead of 5.
Wow. Well, okay. I guess we can look at it that way. I said the same things that you're saying about the vulgarity and the choice of words he used.
Think about it. Think about one NBA superstar who's ever acted like that.
I know. He's done it before, too. He drops F-bombs, and he dropped a P-bomb the other night.
And Rodman doesn't count. Rodman was an oddity. Rodman was an exception. He's an outlier, you know?
Yeah, sure.
There's never been anything like Joel Embiid over the last 2 years. When it comes to, like, MVP ability and utter disrespect for everything and everyone.
I agree with you, man. That's good stuff. I appreciate it, pal. Keep on doing what you're doing, and hopefully your prediction will turn out to be prophetic. Marcus, appreciate it, buddy. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll catch you probably next week.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Marcus. Marcus Hayes on the Comcast Business Hotline. I love having him on. He always says some thought-provoking, has some thought-provoking things to kind of swirl around. And again, we're going to talk more about Joel Embiid. And if you want to talk about him and not the Eagles, please feel free to chime in because both those subjects are on the table. And I think he hit the nail on the head with what he said about how he's conducting himself and embarrassing the league and himself and the Sixers. 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stasek here at 4 o'clock. Come right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Horford double A, layup block, but it's picked up and scored by Harris. And we got a fight! We got a ball fight! It's Carl Anthony Towns and Embiid! A scrum under the basket! Sixers coach Brett Brown is there. Horford missed the layup at one end and at the other end. An absolute brawl! Oh my!
Well, there it was, courtesy of Tom McGinnis. Josh Raybeck getting that sound for us. You know, we talked about it earlier. Marcus talked about it a few minutes ago and basically agreed with my sentiments on it. I think it was embarrassing. And he says that Adam Silver should have probably given him a 5-game suspension to send a message. Okay. I mean, I would understand that if he did. It was embarrassing. Again, he's one of the stars of the league. He's an NBA star, soon to be a superstar, if you don't consider him one already. Probably his health holds him back from that status. You don't see Steph Curry doing that. You don't see James Harden doing that. You know, you don't see LeBron doing that. You don't see Russell Westbrook doing that. And there are skirmishes. Things get heated at times. But it was the aftermath that really cost Joel Embiid his two games. Kiki Vandeweghe, the Troy Vincent of the NBA, handing down penalties. I mean, he gets to the press conference, and he's done this before, and it really turns me off. I got to be honest. He drops F-bombs in the press conference. So if you hear it on the air, you hear a lot of beeps. You know, kids are out there listening, and a lot of it's live. You know, Comcast always has the post-game press conference live. Probably shouldn't do live with him. But then he calls Towns a schmussy after the game, among other things. It's classless. He doesn't need to do that. His stock drops. At least in my eyes, it drops when I see or hear him do things like that. Now, he's not a goon. He doesn't get in fights all the time, but he'll throw an elbow here or there. He'll be at the center of some issues, even if they don't blow up into an all-out Donnybrook. But he likes to mix it up a little bit with folks. But it's the aftermath. It's what he says afterwards. There's no contrition. There's no, it's just things happen. Things happen sometimes in the heat of battle, and I should have walked away, blah, blah, blah. No, she's shadow boxing and trying to get the fans pumped up and laughing after it happens. Two-game suspension is nothing to laugh at, Joel. Sorry. One of the things I said he needs to do this past offseason going forward is he needs to grow up a little bit. I have not seen that yet. I haven't seen any maturation process going on there with Joel Embiid. At least not yet. Maybe he stopped eating, four cookies and cream milkshakes and four chicken sandwiches from Chick-fil-A, but because he looks good. Man, and he almost promised that he would stay off of Twitter, stay off social media, which I think is a good idea. I think there's a lot of guys who should stay off social media. Antonio Brown, Baker Mayfield. What is the purpose of that? Never understood that. Trying to get your message out? If you got something to say, be a man. Call the guy, whoever it is. Text the guy. Hash it out. Mano a mano. Antonio Brown's the worst. First thing he does after a problem is he goes to social media. I don't know if he's trying to change the, or get ahead of the story, or change the public perception of the impending story, but he makes it worse for himself. And he looks like an ass doing it. Joel Embiid, he's funny. I'm sure he's a good guy. He's smart. He's an awesome ball player. He could do without the other things. If I'm Ben Simmons, I'm sitting him down and having a talk with him, or Brett Brown, like, bro, come on, you represent the Sixers here. Forget about the NBA. You represent us. Clean up the language. And stop getting suspended. Can you do that, please? It could come down, home court could come down to a game or two at the end of the year in the conference. He gets enough time off for load management. He doesn't need an additional two games off. Very disappointed in my boy today. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Ed in Elkins Park, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ed?
Hi, Joe. I would get rid of him. He's the most hated.
That's a little extreme.
I'm not. Don't you think every other player in the league wants to trash talk him on the court in his face and saying, shut up and play ball? And he's embarrassing. Who wants to carry that around as a representative of your team? They're the most hated team. Everybody's going to raise their games 10 times to stuff it in his face. And then what's he going to do? Is he going to fight every single game now? If the Greek dunks on him, which he can easily do, then just jumps into his face, what's he going to do? Just fight him then? I mean, he should just I'd get rid of him. It's too much of a headache. He's becoming more an embarrassment. I hope the Sixers don't win because he's making it so hard for the rest of the players on the team. They hate him. The rest of the league, don't you think the rest of the league wants somebody to beat him up?
I don't really care what the rest of the league thinks about my guy. I want my guy to act in a professional manner and cut out all that stuff. But getting rid of him is a little extreme. He's a superstar. He's a superstar, and his teammates love him. And
he could have been suspended for the whole year. Then what would have happened then?
Yeah, he didn't throw a punch, so he's not going to get suspended for the whole year.
Silver could have said for the image of the league and stuff, you're gone till next year, and to think it over.
Yeah, that would be a little extreme, just like this phone call. They're not. I know we can be extremists here, one way or the other, but no. No one's getting rid of Joel Embiid. It's not a fireable offense, but he does need a sit-down with somebody. Ben's his boy. Of course, Ben is young, too. I don't know if he'd listen to Ben, but he should listen to his coach. Pat Croce was the owner still, or the president. He would have a sit-down with him. Pat Croce would have no qualms about calling him in to a sit-down. Not only is it embarrassing, you're hurting your team, bro. You're hurting your team. Jay in Cheltenham, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, big dog?
How are you, man?
How are you, brother? Good time. Listen, man, I'm right there with you, brother. I'm a diehard Sixers fan. That's my team. Ride or die. But he's wrong. And this is he's wrong. You're putting the team in jeopardy. And my whole thing is you're young. You want to have fun, and that's what these young players today do. I just heard Kevin Durant on First Take the other day basically saying the same thing. That's their way at the end of the game, getting on social media, which I think really blew this whole thing out of proportion. That's the way these young players look at it today. That's their way. They do care about their image. They do care about what the masses think about them. And that's where Joel got, you care too much about what other people think. Everyone with eyes can tell you're the best center in the league. You're better than Carl Anthony Towns. He plays on a losing franchise who, to me, I don't know when they will ever be a winning team. So why do you need to go to that extreme to prove that to him? He had better stats than him in that game. Every year he has better stats. He's 10 times better. He's better than him.
Oh, he's much better than Towns. I agree. He should do his talking, just letting his game do his talking.
Play the game. You can get in guys. You can whisper a little something to him on the foul line. Guys in the 90s and the early 2000s did that all the time.
Sure.
Why we got to get to the point where you're costing the team? Now, I take pride in the fact that we undefeated. I take pride in
sure.
that. Now, we might lose to Portland.
Yeah.
And we might turn right around and lose to Phoenix, too.
I know. It was a bad call. Jay, I appreciate the call, man. We've got to take a break. To me, it was a selfish maneuver. And like Marcus Hayes said, he started a fight for no real reason. That wasn't a fightable reason. Getting tangled up and trying to, establish position when the ball's down the other side of the court. The other end. Sixers were going in for a layup. And a fight's going on back behind them. It's just not a good look. The optics are terrible. And yeah, it could cost them. That's my point. All comes down to helping your team win or hurting your team. Are you helping your team or hurting your team? Everything you do as a professional athlete, as a member of the 76ers, every act should be in the spirit of helping your team. And the stuff that doesn't help your team, get rid of. I'm Joe Stasiak here till 4 o'clock. Josh Rabick behind the glass taking your calls. Talking Joel Embiid now. Went from Eagles to Joel Embiid. We can talk some more Eagles if you'd like. Eagles on the table. 23 hours and 20 minutes to kick off tomorrow with the Bears. Let me know your thoughts, your predictions. And should Howie have done something before the trade deadline? Are you upset about Howie? I'm not. I'm glad he didn't, and I'll tell you why on the other side. I'm Joe Stasiak. Coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Linda, Chuck, Nate, thanks for hanging in there. I'll get to you momentarily. Just want to reset a little bit. We've been talking about Eagles, had Marcus Hayes on, primarily discussed the Eagles and some of the things going on with them, not picking up Josh Gordon. I understand what he's saying. Josh Gordon would be an improvement to the wide receiving core, especially if DeSean Jackson can't come back healthy. He probably not a good idea to take Alshon's place. Alshon's getting paid $13, $14 million a year, and he's already disgruntled. Like, any time he doesn't catch the ball, you know, or at least less than, like, 11 times a game. And there's speculation he's the anonymous quote. I mean, first of all, he's got to shut up. But I think that would create a problem. It's unfortunate because Josh Gordon has all kinds of talent. You know, if he can stay out of trouble, which he hasn't been able to since 2013 or 14, just hasn't been able to stay out of trouble. It's unfortunate. Whatever the guy's got going on, he just can't get himself right. But certainly would help the receiving core, especially if DeSean Jackson. See, that would have been a move in place to have depth there. Of course, do you not play Josh Gordon and you only use him in relief? See, that is a sticky situation, tough situation. So because the Eagles have a worse record than Seattle, they obviously did pass on him as he came through and Seattle picked him up. Another toy for Russell Wilson to play with. Talk about league MVP. He's certainly a candidate. It's going to be fun watching him in a couple weeks after the Patriots game come to town. They always have trouble against Seattle anyway, and I can't say enough good things about Russell Wilson. What he does with his legs, extending plays, he can sling it. He's only 5'11 and a half. Just unbelievable. You know, played, I think he started his career, where did he start his career? NC State, and played well, and they wanted to replace him with Mike Glennon. So he goes to Wisconsin, kills it there. He's killed it everywhere he's gone. He's going to be a problem. I don't think Mitch Trubisky is going to be a problem, but he is. If you give Mitch Trubisky time, though, tomorrow, I say this all the time, you give a high school quarterback all the time in the world back there, he'll carve you up. So the worst quarterback in the NFL will carve you up if you give him enough time. They have to get some pressure on Mitch Trubisky because he is at a point where he's probably going to try to do too much to compensate for what little he's done so far and the characterization about him being a bust. I'm sure he hears it. He's got to hear it. Matt Nagy's getting asked the question about replacing him. He's getting asked those questions. I mean, I'm sure he hears it. It's got to have some kind of effect on you. But I think the Eagles take care of business tomorrow, and I'll give my prediction at the end of the show. But I do think they win tomorrow's game. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Nate in Southwest Philly on 97.5. What's up, Nate?
Joe, with all due respect, I love you, man. I love your show.
Thank you.
But, Joe, I don't agree with you right now, or Marcus Hayes for that matter.
That's okay.
I mean, listen, I do agree with the post game. Calling people names and I ain't no B and all that other stuff. That was a little bit over the top. Yeah, I understand that. But him and Cap been having this beef ever since last season. You know what I'm saying? And it really wasn't a fight. It was a wrestle. Everybody's wrestling around.
Yeah.
No punches was thrown. None of that stuff happened. And listen, I understand that, but we wouldn't say this to Charles Barkley and do all this stuff to him. We wouldn't do that to Shaq. All these dudes got in the fight. You got guys talking about get rid of them. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was a little extreme.
Where did that even come from? You want to get rid of one of the top five players in the league?
That was ridiculous.
I'm just saying, people. Some people are just going a little bit overboard, man. I understand the brand, and you got one, the other guy. Oh man, we might lose because of port. Man, it's four. The sixth game? The fifth game?
It's the fifth game. But I understand, but at the end of the year, you tally up wins and losses, and it could cost them a game or two.
Joe, that's not. You really think that these two games are going to affect the end of the year? I don't think so. That's my opinion. I don't think this will ever affect at all, to be honest with you. But, some of the stupid stuff with the Twitter and stuff, he has to stop doing it. But I'm not letting nobody put their hands on me, and that's not going to happen. So, I mean, it could have been worse. I know David Stern, I'm talking about David Stern.
Adam Silver
is looking at it like, man, this is a fight, and I don't want to ruin the brand. But, man, when Ryan Archer ran in the stands, that was totally, this is a totally different situation, man.
But go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I'm listening. Go ahead.
And Nate, here's the deal, because you mentioned it. I don't think the fight or the skirmish got him the two-game suspension. And Kiki Vandeweghe, who renders and levies the penalties, basically said it was what happened afterwards, the aftermath. Like you said, you got to clean up the Twitter, you got to clean up
the
language.
The childish stuff,
that's what hurt him, actually. Yeah, wasn't the skirmish.
So the skirmish I'm not really worried about. I don't see Joe really. Listen, Joe's not even a fighter. You see the little shimmy that he was giving. Come on, you was too stiff. You had no motion. You're not a real boxer, buddy. So, I mean, I don't think we'll see that anymore. But, I mean, listen, it's not our generation, Joe. So we know nothing about this Instagram, Twitter, whatever they doing. You know what I mean? Antonio Brown and all that. I let them beat, man. But I think if this is something small, and I don't want it to get carried over and get callers like your caller before talking about get rid of Joel Embiid. So
that was nuts. And Nate, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you for calling in. It was a good call. That's fine to disagree with me. It was the aftermath that really cost him. And again, I'll reiterate, kids watch his press conference afterwards. Real hardened Sixers fans, they watch. It's on, Sixers post game. Every game. He's dropping F. It's, completely unnecessary. That's completely unnecessary. And it doesn't, paint a good picture of the team. And, someone needs to sit down with him. And I don't know if Brett Brown's the guy to do that. When has he ever been confrontational with one of his players trying to straighten him out? Joel Embiid needs some straightening out. Because the same thing's going to happen if you don't nip this in the bud. Whether he listens to Brett Brown or Ben Simmons or whoever talks to him, who knows. But someone needs to attempt to straighten him out. 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stasiak. Tom, Linda, Chuck, hang in there. Get to you on the other side. I'm here till 4 o'clock. Coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.